Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. So glad you're with us, and it's just great to be back on the air with you these last few days after missing early this week. And of course, IU, a big one on Saturday. They go to West Lafayette. Mackey will be rocking, you can bet for sure, and it's a pivotal game for Indiana, I really feel, against a Boilermaker team that really a week or 2 weeks ago was kind of going through a rut, much like Indiana is right now. They were down in the dumps. They had lost a number of games in a row, but they bounced back, and they're playing good basketball, which isn't good news for Indiana. And, of course, Mackey Arena, also a tough place to play, much like all of the Big Ten Conference. That's not good news for Indiana, but the good news is simply this. They're back with an opportunity to correct some things from what's been a bad stretch, specifically a disastrous Monday game against Nebraska. They'll be back out on the floor Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening at Purdue. So big one for the Hoosiers. Lots of local things going on this weekend. You've got Silver Creek at New Albany tonight. I expect a fabulous crowd for that game. We're going to talk a lot about that contest in the hour today, and of course some other big high school games across the area this weekend as well. And girls sectional pairings will be drawn on Sunday afternoon. We'll have the broadcast of that down from Indianapolis as well. So things moving along in the high school seasons as well as college basketball. And we've got a big weekend on tap here in Southern Indiana. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Hoosier headlines. Our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at IU Purdue and, of course, the upcoming schedule for Indiana. Always a topic of conversation, especially in this difficult stretch that the Hoosiers find themselves in right now. We'll also take a look at some high school stuff. We covered things pretty thoroughly yesterday, but I'll talk specifically some about the Silver Creek New Albany game tonight coming up in our headline segment. And some good news for Jeff football. It looks like, if my math is correct, they're going to drop down to 5A. We'll tell you about that as well, which would be a big boost for Coach Gleason and the Red Devils on the gridiron, and a few other notes to pass along today in segment one as well, presented by Hoopsters. Later in the program, Jared Morris of Assembly Call is with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared and I will take a long look at IU Purdue and some of the matchups and some of the history, what the rivalry means when he's with me later today in the program. And then we'll close the show today with a chat with Brandon Hoffman, the coach at Silver Creek. It's been a number of weeks, maybe months, since we had him on the program last. His team is coming along nicely. We'll talk some about the big game at New Albany tonight with Coach Hoffman, but also want to talk about some of those young players because a lot of attention from some college coaches toward those guys, and, of course, Indiana even checking in on Trey as well, Trey Kaufman, that is, as well. So we'll catch up with Coach Hoffman later in the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. They'll give you $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time for our Hoosier headlines today, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. What a stretch for IU basketball. It's been a tough one at Michigan, at Maryland, both of those losses. And, of course, everybody knows the disappointing loss Monday when Nebraska came to Assembly Hall and Indiana couldn't get it done. In fact, we're really never competitive, losing the game 66-66. 51 after getting off to another atrocious start. Purdue, a 2 o'clock game at Mackey Arena in West Lafayette tomorrow. Of course, some weather expected to come in tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening and overnight. It's pretty clear that game, obviously, like most college games, going to be played. You don't see many cancellations or postponements unless it's really like blizzard-type conditions. But that game will be played, I'm sure, and obviously will be a tough one for Indiana on the road. But after that, they go to Northwestern on Tuesday, January 22nd. So they've got a couple days off, and they'll go back on the road to Evanston for that game. And what do you know, when they come home again, you keep thinking, when is there going to be some relief? When is there maybe going to be another home game this team can get back in sync? I really think they should be able to beat Purdue. I know they've not been playing well, so it may sound crazy to say that. I think that Northwestern is an opportunity, even though it's on the road, for this team to get back in its groove. And then they come home, they've got Michigan. So really, the game at Purdue and the game at Northwestern, for sure, much easier in my estimation than even a home game against Michigan, who's ranked number 2 in the country. Following that game, they go on the road at Rutgers, who beat Ohio State at home about a week and a half ago, so that will not be easy. After that, to start the month of February, no treats there. They go to Michigan State on the road and then come back home to play Iowa. And I think, really, and again, it's the Big Ten. I saw the other night, 10 teams. Someone mentioned they had a strong possibility of getting 10 teams in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that I buy that, but I will say this. After the Michigan State game on the road to open the month of February, the final month of conference play, things do get a little bit more realistic, at least for a couple weeks. They've got Iowa twice, and again, Iowa's solid. They're good. There's nothing wrong with that. They've got some home games. They've got a road game at Minnesota. Then they get things get a little tougher to close the season, but definitely some, I think, chances for this team to get its groove back and see what can happen as we approach February. It'll be here in just about over 2 weeks. The final month of conference play for the upcoming season. Purdue, a team that I mentioned earlier a few weeks ago, was having some struggles of its own. They are 11-6 overall. I think at one time they had lost 4 or 5 in a row of those 6 losses. They are 4-2 in Big Ten conference play. And, of course, everyone is familiar with Carson Edwards. He's the straw that stirs the drink of the Boilermakers, a legitimate All-America-type player, candidate, for this season. He's averaging 24.9 points, so basically 25 points a game on 42.8% shooting from the field. In Big Ten play, 33.9% of Purdue's possessions on the floor go through him, which is the second highest rate in the league behind Wisconsin's Ethan Happ. A little note I saw on Inside the Hall today. So obviously, he's one of the best in the Big Ten, Big Ten Player of the Year candidate, All-America candidate-type player. So he's going to be the big matchup for Indiana to have to deal with. But Purdue's a team that is finding itself and getting in a groove here recently, a mix of some in-state guys, some out-of-state guys. Definitely a tough matchup, especially when it's at Mackey Arena. I know everyone is obviously, and I agree, Assembly Hall is there at the top of not just the Big Ten, but college basketball, at least the places I've been. But Mackey Arena for big games, not every game, but for big games, and of course IU is a big game, it is a tough place to play. It's a really good environment as well. So again, it gets no easier for Indiana. They go on the road against rival Purdue on Saturday afternoon. Let's take a look at our high school game of the week. We'll have the complete play-by-play of this game tonight. Silver Creek, 11-2 on the season, will be at the Doghouse in New Albany. New Albany, 7-5 on the year. 7:30 or so, the projected time for the varsity game tonight. Always a good matchup, especially in recent years when these teams hook up. Now, New Albany has dominated the series, but as Silver Creek's program has grown, as they've had some good teams that have found postseason success in 3A, the interest has grown in that program, and there have been just some tremendous crowds, not just to see Romeo, but to see this rivalry over the last number of years. So I expect another great crowd tonight. New Albany leads the series overall, 28 wins, 2 losses. New Albany, 24 in a row over Silver Creek. Silver Creek's last win back on January 23rd of 1998. A year ago, big night from Romeo on this night. He had 35 points. Of course, that game was played in the afternoon at Bankers Life Fieldhouse as part of Basketball Day in Indiana. It was a game that was broadcast on Fox Sports Indiana across the state. But a big one tonight, an opportunity. I know a lot of fans in New Albany, a good season ticket base still. Silver Creek will have a good turnout for this game. But I've talked to a number of people, maybe they're New Albany ticket holders, maybe they're just fans of basketball in the area. They're excited to see some of these young guys on Silver Creek that we've been talking about, that they've been reading about, see them go up against New Albany tonight at the Doghouse. So I think it'll be a good game, very competitive game, and I think there'll be a great crowd out tonight as well. One other high school note I want to mention. This is really good news, if this is correct, and I'm sure it is, for Brian Gleason and his Jeffersonville football program. The IHSA released its enrollment figures for the 2019 and 2020 year, also 2020 and 2021 year. So the next two seasons, theoretically, of high school sports here in Indiana. Jeffersonville for next season is now the 32nd largest school in the state, with a total enrollment of 2,035. Again, this is as of figures being used to calculate things for next year. Well, the top 32 are in 6A in football. We know how tough that division is. New Albany was in it for a number of seasons. They dropped back due to enrollment into 5A when they found more success there. Jeffersonville still battling Center Grove and Columbus North in that 6A sectional that they have to go through, not finding much success. 32nd team in the state, by enrollment, they would stay in 6A. However, the success factor will bump Columbus East up into 6A, which will drop Jeffersonville to the 33rd or 34th. I'm not sure exactly which one on the list of schools now. Nonetheless, it's going to put them in 5A football for the next couple seasons, at least, depending on what happens with Columbus East and also depending on what happens with enrollment at the other schools that are at that breaking point there between 6A and 5A. But that's good news for Jeffersonville. Really, it's good news for New Albany and Floyd Central and for high school football in general, because it's likely going to put Jeff, New Albany, and Floyd Central back in the same high school football sectional in the area, which is good. Anytime you can get those rivalry games going, especially with postseason stuff on the line, I think it's a good thing. So Jeff football dropping back to 5A starting next season in the 2019 high school football season. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters is voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is next. Our segment with Jared each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. IU-Purdue is on tap Saturday afternoon. Weather's supposed to get bad Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, overnight into Sunday. A great game to watch and enjoy in the comfort of your home, as it's going to be bitter cold this weekend, especially as you go north to West Lafayette. So a big game on tap. Big one for momentum, big one for IU after three consecutive losses, including that bad, bad loss at home to Nebraska. We'll talk about all of that and more next with Jared Morris. Stay with us. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Jared Morris is next, followed by Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We are back to talk some IU basketball, specifically about the IU-Purdue game, with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Our segment with Jared each Friday is presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. They've got great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well, and they're now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. Jared, it's a big one, not just because it's Purdue and it's on the road at Mackey, but IU needs a win in the midst of a three-game losing streak and a bitter, bitter taste, I think, in a lot of fans' mouths after that home loss to Nebraska on Monday.
Yeah, that was ugly. There's no other way around it, you know, and it wasn't just ugly because Indiana didn't shoot well and because Indiana didn't execute and because Nebraska played really well and had a good game plan. It was ugly because Indiana didn't really come out and fight from the tip, you know, and I don't know what led to that. I don't know if, you know, who knows, you know, why, you know, some, you know, games, obviously teams come out a little less focused or don't have the energy, but that is obviously something that we can't see much more of, or this team isn't going to win many more games. So, you know, pretty much everything about that game was just unacceptable. And now, you know, you're staring at two straight road games and then another one against Michigan. So I think even before the season, we all looked at this January schedule and we thought it was going to be really tough. You know, we thought, you know, they take some losses, you know, take on a little bit of water, but not quite this much. You know, I don't think anybody felt like after the Nebraska game, you know, that we would be kind of feeling like so many things were up in the air. But, you know, just given the way that the season has gone with the injuries and the inconsistency, you know, I suppose it makes some sense why we're in this place. But all of that being said, you know, now you've really got to turn things around, you know, get the effort, get the focus, get the energy, all of that back, you know, and now Indiana's probably in a spot offensively where they're going to need to tweak some things because the blueprint is kind of out now for how you defend this Indiana team. You know, everybody knows that the offense is going to be run through Romeo and Juwan, and it will be, but you're going to have to get some contributions from elsewhere, and you're going to have to do some things to get those guys space. Otherwise, teams are going to keep defending Indiana like Nebraska did until the Hoosiers prove that they can do something else. So, you know, it starts Saturday. Purdue is a, you know, they've lost six games. You know, all those are to, most of them are the top 25 teams. But they've really been playing well lately, you know, winning at Wisconsin and then just annihilating Rutgers. So it's two teams going in opposite directions, and it's going to be a really tough environment. And so Indiana's really going to have to, you know, kind of come with some resolve and maybe come with, you know, a new wrinkle or two offensively to go up there and give themselves a chance to win on Saturday.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, generally, and there still is, lots of excitement about IU basketball each and every year, especially this year, Juwan Morgan, Romeo Langford, excitement really at an all-time high. So I don't want to act like the season's over, we're packing up and calling it quits, anything like that. But three losses in a row, obviously concerning. Michigan and Maryland, I really do, on the road. Nebraska at home, that's the tough pill to swallow. These three losses, what you've seen in these three losses specifically, is this concern you about the rest of the season, or do you think this is just a blip, a tough moment for Indiana in the middle of some very tough conference games, including a lot of road games?
No, it's definitely concerning. I mean, I think that part of the reason why you've seen a lot of overreaction, and in some cases not even overreaction, just a lot of strong reaction to the last three games, is that, you know, even in the games before, you know, even, you know, when Indiana, you know, finished their non-conference schedule with a really good record, you know, even in some of the wins, there had been some uneven play, you know, and so people were a little bit uneasy, you know, is this sustainable? Is this team really as good as their record? And so you go into conference play and you're hoping to get affirmation that, yes, this team is as good as its record. And, you know, some of these early season struggles are going to be put behind them. And, you know, as guys get healthy, the chemistry will look better and the cohesion will look better. And then you kind of get smacked in the face, you know, with the Michigan, the Maryland, and the Nebraska losses with, hey, you know, some of these warts that we saw, they're still there. You know, some of these fissures that we saw, they almost seem like they're, you know, spreading open a little bit more. And now that we're facing better competition, we're getting exposed. So, you know, all of those, none of those losses individually, outside of the way the Nebraska game was lost, are that bad, because Michigan, Maryland, and Nebraska are really good teams. They're, you know, top 15, top 20 teams in KenPom. Now, that's no excuse for what happened at home against Nebraska, but those are good teams. So the issue is, I think that these three games have been a bit of a reality check for where the team is right now both because of the injuries and because of the issues with execution. And so I certainly think that some things have been, you know, kind of revealed that are big issues moving forward. There's no question about it. Now, I still have optimism that, you know, as the team gets healthier, as they play better together, and as the schedule gets a little bit kinder in February and March, that they'll be able to build some momentum. But right now, it just feels like a real struggle, kind of, you know, pushing a boulder up the hill with the struggles the team is facing to kind of get themselves right, and the fact that one game after another is either on the road or against a great team. It makes it hard to, you know, kind of get that slump buster that you might need, because you've got to play at your best to beat these teams. And right now, Indiana just isn't functioning at its best. So hopefully something can happen over these next couple of games, because I certainly think both these next two games against Purdue and Northwestern are winnable. I'm not, you know, saying I would bet money that Indiana will win them, given what we just saw on Monday. But they're winnable games if Indiana can fix some of these things. And that's kind of what it feels like the team needs now, is something positive to happen to get back with some of that positive momentum that we had earlier in the season.
Jared, you talk about a slump buster. What a time for IU-Purdue. What a time for it to be at Mackey when you're looking for a key win maybe to turn things around. Just it's not just Purdue. It's just a byproduct of a tough schedule and a really good Big Ten conference.
No doubt. And look, the atmosphere in Mackey Arena is always crazy. And it seems to be especially crazy and intense when Purdue can kind of smell blood in the water, you know, when those fans can sense that it's a wounded Indiana coming in, which is the case right now. So I would expect, you know, Mackey Arena to give Indiana every ounce of its intensity. And so, you know, the Hoosiers are really going to have to respond to that and respond to a team that's playing better. So it's probably, you know, it's certainly not the ideal time to be going up there. You would like to be playing better basketball for this game, but this is what the schedule dealt. And, you know, you can flip that on its head and you can say, well, you know, if the biggest issue in that Nebraska game was the effort, the energy, and the focus, which I think it was, then maybe what this team needs is to get away from home, get in a big rivalry game, you know, draw some, you know, some intensity from the crowd and get a me against the world or us against the world mentality. And maybe that snaps them out of that funk. And if they execute a little bit better, they'll have a chance. So you can kind of look at it both ways. But if I had my druthers, you know, I would prefer, you know, that this team had a game or two to get itself going before going up there to play. But this is what the schedule is, and it's a really big opportunity for Indiana. And I'm hoping they go up there with the right mindset to be able to take advantage of it.
And I know Purdue's good. Purdue's playing good. It's at Mackey. But, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, they did have their own tough stretch in the final days of November into, I guess, mid-December or so leading up to the at the Crossroads Classic. They lost 4 out of 5 games. So it's a Purdue team that has appeared to figure some things out as Big Ten play has gotten underway full time, but obviously not by any means a dominant, perfect team that is expected to be at the top of college basketball.
No, certainly not, and that's why this game is winnable. Now, you're going to have to do some things to give yourself a chance. You know, obviously you have to hope that Carson Edwards, you know, has one of his inefficient shooting nights, and you need to do your part to make that happen, you know, force him into some turnovers. And I think Indiana's going to have to take and make more three-pointers, I think. You know, not just because of what it will do for Indiana's offense to space things out. And I didn't necessarily think this 3 or 4 weeks ago, but now seeing how teams are defending Indiana and how the space is just shrinking so much on Romeo and Juwan, I've kind of changed my mind on it some. But you look at the games Purdue has lost. Every game they have lost, the team has made at least 8 threes and taken at least 21. And Indiana, I think, has made 8 threes 6 times this year, and they've taken 21 or more threes 4 times this year. So that's not something they typically do, but that's, you know, Purdue has they are vulnerable from the three-point line. So Indiana's going to have to do some of that. And, you know, the other thing, you look at Purdue and why have they turned things around? Well, they've gotten the thing that Indiana really needs, which is a bench guy who has stepped up and become a really consistent kind of secondary and tertiary scoring option alongside Carson Edwards, and that's Trevion Williams, who, you know, kind of had his coming out party a little bit in that Crossroads Classic game, and now, you know, over the last 3 games has become a much more integral part of their offense, playing, you know, 20 to 22 minutes. And that's the kind of thing Indiana so desperately needs, someone to step up and be that guy that, hey, off the bench, we can count on this guy, you know, to give us 8, 10, 12 points. And that just hasn't materialized. So hopefully Deron is a little bit, you know, healthier and ready to go, because I think he's going to be really important to guard Williams when he's in the game. You know, so we'll see. I mean, there's, you know, Purdue presents some unique challenges. Indiana's going to present some unique challenges on the other end. You know, but right now, as you said, you know, Purdue went through their struggles in mid-November and, you know, December, and they seem to be rounding into form, and Indiana really seems to be hitting its toughest skid right now.
Obviously, Carson Edwards, you know, conference-type, player of the year-type candidate, you know, on a lot of the postseason watch list for awards that fit his category, but Purdue's much more than him. Your take on not only Carson Edwards, but the Purdue team and some of the matchups we could see on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, they are more than him, but he's the engine that makes him go. I mean, he uses a ton of possessions. He takes a ton of shots. He, you know, literally has a green light anytime, anywhere to shoot it, even though, you know, I'm sure Matt Painter doesn't like some of those shots, but you have to live with them. So, you know, he makes it go, but they've also got guys that can play off of him and that seem to be getting better playing off of him, you know, like Ryan Klein, who, you know, is a guy that Indiana could use, a guy who can, you know, step outside and be a reliable three-point shooter. You know, obviously they have guys like Harms and Eastern and some of these other guys. To me, those guys aren't the scary ones. I think Indiana can match up okay with those guys. But it's, you know, who guards Edwards and how do you contain him? And then when they bring Williams in, what do you do with him? Because, you know, if Juwan Morgan is guarding him, he's going to be giving up some size, and you obviously don't want him drawing fouls. And plus, you know, having to bang against, you know, a big beefy guy like Williams, that's, you know, part of the reason why Juwan ends up looking gassed sometimes in games, because he's got such a physical job on both ends of the court. So who off the bench can come in and provide some reliable minutes in the post? So those are, you know, those are two really important questions that Indiana's going to have to answer. And, you know, the other thing with Purdue's other players is typically role players play better at home. So, you know, you have to assume that those guys will be ready to play.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. I've been to Mackey for, actually years ago, for some high school games when that was allowed. I've been to Mackey for a Purdue game or two over the years. I've never been for a big game, like a Big Ten, you know, prime matchup or an IU-Purdue game at Mackey. I've got a feeling that if I was a betting man, you probably have been there for that game. Have you? And your thoughts on the environment, and how does it compare? How does it stack up to Assembly Hall when it's rocking?
Yeah, I have. I lived in West Lafayette for about 5 years in high school. So went to plenty of games there. And I mean, look, it's, you know, I'm not one who enjoys saying positive things about Purdue, but that's a great arena to watch basketball. And they have, you know, they have really good, loud, energetic, knowledgeable fans. And so, you know, to me, nothing, and, you know, I say this as objectively as I possibly can, you know, nothing competes with Assembly Hall when it's a big game, everybody's engaged and going crazy. But Mackey is probably the closest thing I've experienced to that, just because of the way that it's set up and, you know, how loud it gets in there. And so I would anticipate that it will be a very intimidating atmosphere, and you're going to need your seniors, guys like Juwan Morgan, who have been in atmospheres like that before, to really step up and lead right from the start. Because, you know, look, what did we see on Monday, you know, in the Nebraska game? I mean, that crowd was taken out of the game so early because Nebraska just came out, jumped out on us, and there was no energy. And you know that Purdue is going to come out with some energy, so you're not going to, you know, go in there and face a Purdue team that just kind of laid down like Indiana did against Nebraska. But if you can have some positive things happen early and just kind of take a little bit, you know, out of the crowd and give yourself some confidence, that's really important in games like this.
I mean, at this point, Jared, with the bad starts that IU has had, just keeping it close, even if they trail by 4 or 5 points at halftime or, you know, in the first 10 minutes of the game, legitimately just keeping it close in a big game at Purdue, I think is a step in the right direction. Because, I mean, Monday night, you get behind so much to Nebraska at home. Michigan, you get behind early, were able to battle back. I guess Maryland is the outlier in a lot of games this season where they actually did take an early lead and just couldn't build on that, couldn't close on that, I guess I should say. But just not falling behind by double digits maybe in some ways might be a little relief for fans watching the game, as crazy as that sounds to say.
Yeah, you know, look, about 2 weeks ago I looked at this game, and, you know, you looked at the KenPom projections and everything, and it was, you know, closer to a toss-up game. And I thought this is a game, you know, Indiana's going to have a great chance to go in and win. Our view on that has obviously, you know, been shaded a little bit by these last three games. But, you know, just because Indiana has played poorly, you know, in their last game and through stretches of the previous games, you know, that doesn't mean to me that we, you know, kind of change the bar for what success means. I mean, Indiana needs to go in there and win this game. This, you know, this is a good Purdue team. I don't think this is an elite Purdue team. And you know, I think Indiana can go in there and win if they play their game. Now, that said, the way that they've played recently, you know, and the way that they've started, yeah, there are some things like, okay, if we can just get off to a halfway decent start and not have to be battling back the whole game, you know, and if we can do some of these other things that we haven't done recently, I agree with you. Just viscerally, there will be a sense of relief, you know, for the fans. And you know, when you go into a rivalry game and when you're not favored, there's a chance that you're going to come out with a loss. So I'm not saying that there isn't anything Indiana can do that would make you feel, you know, good about the performance, even if you lose, because sometimes when you play good teams in their, you know, in their arena, you can play well and lose. But, you know, I don't, the goalposts haven't changed so much because of the last three games that this is a game that we shouldn't go in there, you know, expecting the team to play well and win. But let's watch how it plays out, and hopefully, win or lose, there are some things that happen that you say, okay, you know what, we improved, we got better, we can take this into Evanston and at least pick up one of these two road games and start feeling a little bit better before Michigan comes to town.
All right, Jared, I want to bring this up before we close things out today. You guys spoke about this in the most recent episode of Assembly Call Radio. Social media garbage, nonsense, I don't know what you want to call it, from fans overreacting majorly, in my opinion, to Archie Miller and some of his decisions, or in some of this stuff, lack thereof, maybe the fans would say, and also even toward players at times. IU fans are crazy. There's no question about it. That can be a really, really good thing, and you probably experienced this with your online chats and the way that you guys interact with listeners to your post-game shows, maybe more than anyone I know. But IU fans can be really, really, really good, and Assembly Hall can be really, really, really good because of those fans. But IU fans can also be very, very tough on its own team and coaches.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, the passion of the IU fan base is such a great strength, but it can be a double-edged sword. And look, I don't, you know, it's one of those things, it is so absolutely valid after a performance like that to be critical and to be upset and to be disappointed and to be frustrated and to, you know, say things like that was unacceptable and any measure of critique for that performance, there's no question. But when it, you know, when it devolves into personal attacks and when it gets to the irrationality of thinking that you can render final judgment on a coach 1.5 years into his tenure, I mean, that's just not reasonable. And it doesn't produce worthwhile conversation. I love, you know, obviously, you know, we put our opinions out here, you know, out about the team, and that, you know, opens us up to criticism and disagreement. And I love it when people disagree and come up with, you know, present me with different alternatives, because a lot of times it informs my thinking and can change my mind. I love that. But when it's just abject nonsense and irrationality, it doesn't do anything for the conversation. I think what fans sometimes, I think, don't realize, and I need reminders of this myself, is that it's not just us as fans looking at this stuff. It's players and their parents and recruits and potential recruits' parents that are seeing some of this stuff. And I'm not saying it changes, you know, the final decision of where a five-star recruit is going to go because the fan base gets unhinged after a loss, but I don't think it's helping, you know?
Sure.
So I just think it's important to, you know, for any, you know, being kind, being decent, and being rational, we should all try to do those things on social media anyway. But for anybody who needs kind of a selfish IU-centric reason to do it, you know, just remember that it's not shining any type of positive light on your university and your program when you go out there and spout off like that.
Yeah, you never know who's watching that stuff. I saw, and I mentioned this yesterday, a transaction on, I think it was Twitter, between Armon Franklin, 2019 recruit's mother, and Keon Brooks talking about IU fans. You never know who's reading it, what, you know, opinion it could build for someone. You just don't know. And I think in the world of social media, where it's at your fingertips to fire off at someone or at your favorite team or whatever it might be, politics, who knows? It's so convenient to do so nowadays that often you see people, you think, did they really read that before they hit the post button? They really think that before they hit the post button.
Yep, I agree.
So, Jared, great to talk with you. Big game Saturday. Look forward to, win or lose, the Assembly Call post-game show right here on the Big X, and, of course, at assemblycall.com. It's a great way to kind of unwind and hear a lot of discussion about Indiana and how the game goes, and we carry that after the conclusion of the IU Network broadcast for every IU game here on the Big X Sports Radio. Jared, thank you. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll do this again next week and see where IU's at that point.
Sounds good. My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
All right, our segment with Jared, presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, they've got a sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe, located in downtown New Albany. Great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well, and they're now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman on the day of a big game for his Dragons as they look to bounce back after a loss last week against a very solid Brownstown team. A big matchup tonight. We're going to talk about his team. We're going to talk about some of his individual players as well. So stay with us for that coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment on this Friday show. I'm joined by Brandon Hoffman. He's the head coach at Silver Creek and his Dragons gearing up for a big game tonight at the Doghouse in New Albany, 7:30, the projected start time for that varsity contest. Should be a great crowd, should be a very competitive game, but if you can't make it, we'll have the full play-by-play story of that contest tonight right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Coach Hoffman, want to talk about tonight's game, a little bit about your team and some of your players as well, but it's been a really good season so far for your club.
Yeah, Matt, we're having a great season so far, and, you know, we're a little bit past halfway, and the goal is to make it even better the second half.
Let's talk about tonight's game at New Albany. Obviously, it's a big game. It doesn't have any implications as far as your conference goes or postseason goes, but it's a natural rivalry. New Albany has got the best of you in recent years and really throughout the series, but I tell you what, New Albany-Silver Creek has been a whale of a game the last number of years, both from a crowd perspective, fans getting into it, both communities getting into it, and very competitive as well.
Man, you're right, Matt. You know what? The last 3 years, they have been so much fun. And you know, to be honest, the last 3 years, each year the New Albany game has been the best game we played pretty much in all those seasons. Just unfortunately, they had that Romeo guy that was just great and better than us. But every game is so much fun, and there isn't a staff that I'm closer to than the New Albany staff. It's always fun to compete against those guys, and you know what it's like. Even like when you're little, playing against your brother or sister, you want to beat them more than anybody else. looking forward to going down there and competing, having fun, and just soaking up the experience.
You know, before we talk too much about tonight's game, I probably should go back and let's revisit a year ago. It was a big game for both teams, very good game, came down to the very end. It was at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which I know was a great experience for both teams, and it was live on Fox Sports Indiana That I'm sure, even though it wasn't a win, a good performance, and I'm sure a memorable moment and probably a growing moment for your team last year and for your program and some of the young guys you've had.
It was, and that was a great day. Kind of what I just mentioned, we were 8-for-11 from three in the first half. I mean, that's like unworldly, and we were still losing. So, both teams played great, and just the whole experience going up to Bankers Life and getting to play there, you know, the ultimate goal is for us to go back there, you know, this, you know, when it means something in March. So, last year was that was a lot of fun.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is our guest. A little bit about New Albany before we get into your team. Obviously, that player you mentioned named Romeo has moved on to Bloomington and Indiana. He'll be taking on Purdue Saturday afternoon. What about this year's New Albany team catches your attention?
I think the overall, the balance they have, you know, they're playing a lot of guys that come in and contribute. And I love watching Julian Hunter play. You know, he's a great rebounder, great energy guy. And, you know, all those guys, Stevenson, Horrigan, they've had good years. And you know, Sprigler, when he was a younger player early in his career, he had really good games against us. So, I mean, they're just, instead of having, you know, the great player, they got a bunch of good players. And, you know, they played the third or fourth hardest schedule in the state already. And, you know, they're slowly but surely, as the season goes on, starting to find themselves. And I think they're going to have an excellent chance to win that sectional. And everybody is just kind of starting to feel their way. And, even the games they lost, I mean, in the air, you know, the Jeff and Floyd Central game, they were winning it, you know, towards the end of the game. So great team and a really, really well-coached group.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, my guest today as we wrap up a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. If your team didn't need any motivation for this big game tonight, you lost in your game against Brownstown Central last weekend. Close game. They slowed it down on you. They were able to eke out with a 41-40 victory. What have you noticed this week in practice, in addition getting ready for a big game, coming off a little surprising loss against a team that's also become one of your rivals in a big conference game in Brownstown? What's the mood been, and do you think maybe that's made your team dig in a little harder to get ready for Friday night at New Albany?
You know, last week we didn't play very good, and Brownstown had a lot to do with that. They made all the big shots, and, you know, we missed some shots, and they slowed it down on us, which, you know, a lot of that I take the blame for. I could have coached a lot better game for sure. And, you know, we learned from it. I think we learned from it, man. We had a really good week of practice. Guys were focused. And, you know, hopefully a month from now we look back and that loss is good for us. You know, we're better from it. But in terms of needing motivation to go down and play in front of 1,000 people against New Albany, that's, golly, please hang your jersey in if you're not motivated for that game.
Brandon Hoffman, Silver Creek coach, with us. Interesting connection. I read this in the News and Tribune this morning. Cooper Jacoby, one of your players, actually two Jacobys on your roster. Their uncle, Noy Castillo, who was one of my favorite New Albany Bulldogs as a kid growing up in New Albany. He went on to play at the Citadel. He had a tremendous professional career in the Philippines. He's been in the area some, does some missionary work with church, but just a great basketball family. And I tell you one thing that's carried over from Noy to his nephews has been a great shooting ability.
Yeah, you're right. Great family, Matt. You know, even you know, 7-8 years ago, before you know, Cooper and Jackson were playing for us, you know, Noy would come by and speak to our guys, you know, SCA events and chapel and stuff. But in terms of, you know, just overall character, you never have to get on them, you know, for working hard and great representatives of our basketball program. I mean, they emulate Noy in that aspect. And I think Cooper is, you know, he's slowly but surely carving out his legacy here at Silver Creek as well.
When I've described Silver Creek both on this radio program and to fans talking about hoops in the area, I've kind of said two things. Coach Hoffman has some guys that helped him build the program, that are experienced, that are big leaders on this team, whether it be on or off the court. They can handle both of those situations, but also has some emerging talent, some guys that have some potential college ability that are getting some attention from that angle as well, and that have shown big performances at times on the court as well. It's a good mix when I think of your club, with experience and returning players that have logged a lot of minutes in some big state tournament games for you, but also some newer faces that are finding their way and doing a good job in doing that. That's got to be a good mix for you when you go into a game like New Albany or a sectional game coming up here in a month and a half or so, that you've got some leadership, you've got guys that have been there, but you also have some talent that's looking like the sky's the limit.
You're right. You're right, Matt. Some of those seniors, I mean, I'm using Zane Gross for an example, I would say when he graduates, he's played more games in the Silver Creek uniform than anybody in school history. And along with those other seniors that we have, there's not much that they haven't seen in their careers, you know, sectional game, regional games, playing at Bankers Life, and playing the schedule we play. And they're doing a good job of bringing those younger guys around. You know, early in the season, it was kind of, how are you going to mesh the seniors and the sophomores and the freshmen and all that? And, it's not – we don't have two different sets of players. We've kind of emerged as we just have a Silver Creek team with a good mix of everything. And our guys are great kids, and they get along. That's one huge thing that makes it a lot of fun to coach here at Silver Creek is the players.
I want to talk to you, too, about one of your young players and somebody we've mentioned before, Trey Kaufman. I saw him. I think he was 13 of 13 in one of your holiday tournament games. I forget which game it was I was at. I think the championship game. But he was absolutely spot on, some great moves in the post. He can step out as well. He can run in transition, and he's starting to draw some attention of college coaches, even at the highest levels from the Indianas and the Purdues. A player that, boy, you think what he could be a few years from now, and you get excited about another great player coming through our Southern Indiana area.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Trey's efficiency. That's what makes him a special player. He can. There's really nothing that he can't do, and he's a really great passer. He leads us in rebounding, but the big stat that we kind of focus on here is points per shot, and Trey's averaging 1.7 points per shot. So every time he shoots it, we're going to get almost 2 points a game. It's amazing how much better he's gotten in a year, and just imagine how much better he's going to get next year and the year after when he continues to, what's expected to be for him to continue to grow in height and then, put some muscle on and develop other facets of his game. But what a special talent.
As you've heard from some college coaches stopping in to watch him, whether it be in your practices or open gyms before the season or now maybe during some games when possible, what do you think college coaches, even at a young age, with a number of seasons left in high school basketball, what seems to catch their attention most about Trey and his ability maybe to play the game at a high level when he's done at Silver Creek?
Everybody talks about his passing. How good of a passer he is. And even when you see us play, I mean, he's starting to draw attention. If it's single coverage, he's going to try to score. But, a lot of our games, guys are just like double team or triple team. And he does a really good job of finding the open man. And he has guard skills. He has guard skills, and he's already 6'8". What if he grows another inch or two, and you got a guy that can do a little bit of everything? And also, 3 point, we're looking at a 3 point percentage. He's shooting 47%. So, in terms of if people think that he can play at a high level, there's no question in my mind he can.
Brandon Hoffman, the coach at Silver Creek. Don't forget, Silver Creek at New Albany tonight. We'll have the play-by-play coverage if you can't make it out to the doghouse. And Coach Hoffman, I know you guys have had some early ticket sales this week in your athletics office. I've got to think that with New Albany's crowd and season ticket holders and the great interest and the way your fans follow the Silver Creek program, that we will be near or at a sellout tonight, I would think.
I know. Games like this, the pregame, I tell my guys I'm so jealous of them. Like, I mean, how cool is that? They get to play against a really good team in front of a sold out, you know, big gym. And, man, I hope they soak it up and play well.
Absolutely. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, a great team with some great players to watch, not just the rest of the regular season, but into the tournament as well. Lots of hopes for the Silver Creek basketball team this season. Coach Hoffman, thanks for the game day chat. I'll see you tonight at the Doghouse, and always appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure, buddy. I'll see you.
All righty. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek with us as we wrap things up on this Friday program. Again, if you can't make it out, you can't get a ticket, you don't want to fight the crowd, whatever it may be, we'll have the broadcast. But I think this will be a great game decided late in the contest, one you don't want to miss. It's our game of the week here on the Big X Sports Radio. That'll wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget IU tomorrow, 2 o'clock tip-off when the Hoosiers play at Purdue. That means the pregame coverage will begin at 1 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. Of course, after the game tomorrow night, we've got Assembly Call, post-game show when the IU Network coverage concludes. Don't forget you can podcast this show. A lot of people I know check it out that way, especially if they're not in the area or it doesn't match up with your work schedule to catch us live at 11 or the replay at 3 o'clock. Two easy ways to do that, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also download the free SoundCloud app, or you can check us out on Apple Podcast. You just search The Hoosier Report. If you would be so kind to leave us a good rating and a review, that will help us reach others on Apple Podcasts that might be interested in a podcast, a radio show about IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. Have a great weekend. Try to stay warm. It's going to get really cold late Saturday night into Sunday morning, and some weather expected to move through the area as well. So we'll see if it affects any of our plans or high school games this weekend. But have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back Monday at 11 o'clock with the Hoosier Report. We'll have Chad Gilbert. We'll have joining us Zach Osterman as well to recap IU stuff. All coming your way next week right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.